gentlemen, welcome in. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas. We're here. Episode 56. ABB, how you doing today?
Good, man. It's a great Christmas. You know, we were just talking about it. Hey, a lot of disc golf companies take the last couple weeks of the year off. Not us, not Foundation. We're here. We're at it. Back better than ever. And ready. And I'm excited for this episode. We had to pivot a little bit. Our guest was a little under the weather. So we have another great guest. I'm excited to look at their bag. He is actually a Foundation team member, but he's a fan of the show and has been wanting to be on for a minute. So we thought we'd bring him on and help him, instead of really, we're going to make a recommendation, but we're also going to help him talk about condensing a little bit, which is one of his requests.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the longer the show goes on, the reality is, I mean, we've got at least 56 episodes. And as you guys continue to listen, there are a lot of really balanced bags. And so we've talked about a lot of concepts here. And so people will come on and it's like, you've got an understable, a neutral, and an overstable mid. Understable, neutral, overstable, fairway, understable, neutral. Like, you've got all the slots covered, the major key slots that we're talking about. And so when you come on, it gets a lot tougher to do a disc recommendation because you guys have been listening to the advice of the previous 56 episodes. So I think that there's definitely room for a lot of discussion on, okay, you probably, most people have overlap in some form and fashion in their bag, but it always is helpful to have some extra eyes. And so as I look at this bag, there is a ton of overlap. Yep. So I'm excited to dive into this. Also, we had a funny moment last night, letting listeners in behind the scenes of Brad and I were talking about, and I was like, I'm not seeing necessarily like any gaps or anything like that. And then Brad sent me a picture and he's like, what about these? And it was like two glaring holes in a bag. It just wasn't this bag.
It was not.
Am I looking at the wrong bag? Are you looking at the, it was a time. So
yeah, it was fun, but it was great. And one of the great new features, and I don't know if it's on their end or just our end, Robbie, but I think if you're in the bag community, you can search like your friends, people, you know, that are in the community, and look at their bag. So thankfully I just jumped in, searched Noah's bag, boom, Noah came up, and I was like, oh, duh, my bad, wrong bag. So love that feature. Continually built, Disc RPM is building out all the features in the bag community. I mean, it's very humbling. Thank you all for joining. We're almost to 600 members now, Robbie.
That's incredible.
Yep. So we got to figure out what our giveaway is going to be for our 500. And then, you know, hey, we might just do one at 600 too if we get up there. So yeah. I think we go for it. But yeah, check out the community stats in there. It tells stuff about like what disc brands are popular, what speeds, the most common distances and things like that, because those are now in there as a feature, which is awesome. So just thanks to Disc RPM for making this awesome. It's just like such a compatible thing for us to use for the podcast. It makes it easier for us like discussing them amongst ourselves and also for our listeners and users to get on there and do some of their own research as well. So thanks Disc RPM for that. And I guess with that said, let's bring in Noah and I'll like talk about this bag.
Let's do it. Welcoming into the podcast, Noah. How you doing today, Noah?
Doing pretty good. You know, not bad. Had a little internet troubles, but we're here.
Hey, we made it.
If you've never had internet troubles, let us know in the comments so that way we can know when our day is just a little worse, to think of, who is just living the dream life. I'm not trying to say we need to troll people in the comments here, people, but I'm saying we've all experienced those internet issues in the past. There are a few things, Noah, that make me as irrationally angry as when internet is doing something, like when technology and traffic, I get heated when those things happen. So speaking of heat, Noah, we want to get to know your game, and looking at your bag, brother, you look like you throw far. At least that's the hope.
Decently far. I mean, yeah, I can throw. It's probably the strength of my game is being able to throw the disc. Definitely not the short game. That's where struggles begin to come in.
Okay. Awesome. Well, let's have our audience get to know you, sir. And how long have you been playing?
I've been playing around 3 years, but I've kind of known about the sport for a long time. My cousins have played their entire life growing up. And so I kind of knew about the sport, played casually when I was like 10 or 11, but I've really been playing for 3 years.
Okay, fantastic. And so if we put you in a field, we take you to Lynchburg College and we're on hole three and we're like, all right, we're going to put a basket out there. We're going to put it X amount of feet away from you, wide open, flat field. How far are you consistently reaching the basket on backhand, and how far are you consistently reaching on forehand?
Backhand is definitely stronger than forehand. Backhand, I would say 400 feet. If I see 400 feet, I'm like very confident I can get the disc to the basket, no question. Much past there, it's like, you know, I could do it maybe occasionally, but that starts to stretch, you know. Okay. And then forehand is 300 feet. That's been a recent improvement to my game, I guess, is just distance forehand. I've started throwing flippier stuff a little bit to get more distance on the forehand, and it's made a big difference. So that's about 300 feet.
Okay. Awesome. And then if we put you on the putting green and we're like, all right, Noah, you got to putt 15 or 10 from 15 feet, 10 from 25 and 10 from 40 feet. How many are you making at each station?
This is where it gets a little depressing. so 15 feet, I'm still confident I can make 8, you know, 9, you know, 15 feet's pretty short. 25 feet, we're talking about 5.
Okay.
And then 40 feet, 1 to 2.
Okay. I had a really fascinating conversation with my brother about this because my middle brother does not get to play that often, but his kids on weekends, they have a huge driveway. And so they like to ride around in the driveway. And so he will practice his putting mm-hmm. while they're driving. So while he plays like 2 or 3 times a year, but he putts all every weekend.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah. So I just want to go ahead and say, I got a bone to pick with some of your guests. And I was like, okay. And he's like, they're all liars. Like they're all stepping up on this show. It's trying to say they make these. And he was telling me from 40 feet, he was 0 for 10 yeah. on 40 feet. But then he was like, this is more of an approach for me anyways.
Yeah.
So then he started throwing approaches mm-hmm. and he went 3 for 10 or something like that. Damn. Like mm-hmm. it was crazy. So definitely, if you're struggling at that distance, if you're ever coming on the show, it's a safe space, guys. We're not going to be like, oh, I'm sorry, you make how many at that station? Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you can go ahead and leave. So, no, I appreciate the honesty and I appreciate the 1 out of 12 and even the 8 out of 10 from 15 because 15 footers when the pressure's on can be tough,
very tough.
So, Noah, let's talk about your bag a little bit, man. And hearing even your description, I have some guesses as to what discs are being used for what. The theme of your bag, we've kind of teased it in the episode coming up or coming in the intro, is I feel like your bag has a lot of overlap. Is that something that you feel?
In certain areas, yes, especially in that control driver 9-speed type of area. That's where mm-hmm. the overlap really begins.
Okay. Yeah. So looking at the distance drivers, I can see worlds of like what each one might be used for. So running through it real fast, you've got 3 destroyers in the bag. I'm assuming the Calvin Halo that isn't team stamped is like utility.
That one
real actually, overstable.
That actually the team stamp one is the ones that really is the one that is really overstable. The Calvin okay. one I've had since it came out, and it's like super beat up. Like whenever I shouldn't have been throwing destroyers like 2 years ago, I just do it on every hole, and so it got super beat up. So now, mm-hmm. I mean, I can hyzer flip it and everything. Like it's like if I need max distance, that is the disc I go to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what does the yellow destroyer do then?
That one's kind of more just like your standard destroyer. Like I can get it to flip up a little bit, fade out. It's kind of just your typical stock star destroyer pretty much.
Okay. And how'd you come across 2 team stamps?
So my cousin is on the pro tour. So I've got a few connections with some of his friends and some of his people, I guess. So I actually have like a few more team stamp discs. And so kind of came across a few throughout, you know, spending some big money on them, but you know,
I love it. Hey, yeah. You got to flex on people sometimes. Yeah. I get it. So talking about the Wraiths, Are the wraiths, are you forehanding some of your wraiths?
The pink one I forehand, and I forehand like the flippier Calvin. I'm going to be totally honest. The red wraith, not a whole lot of difference between that one and the pink one. I really only have it in the bag whenever I'm carrying my red Liberty disc golf bag because I need to fill it with space and because it's so massive. So, yeah, that's really the only time if I'm carrying my Atlas bag, I take that one out. And if I'm carrying the red Liberty bag, I'll put it in. That's really the only reason it's in there, if I'm being honest.
Okay. Well, respect. And one beautiful part about this RPM is we can see which ones he's talking about because there are pictures uploaded of all of them. I know, Brad, we've definitely struggled with that in the past where they're like, oh, yeah, the red one. We're like,
oh, it's blue in here.
Yeah, our chart doesn't show any red ones. So you don't have a single red disc in your bag. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, they're all red. Well, that's not helpful either then. So awesome. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I feel like the Wraith, especially at 168, is one of those. It's gonna beat in really fast. It's gonna quickly become what that Calvin Destroyer is.
Oh, yeah.
But then just a little bit of finesse, and then you got to start being careful, especially with your power backhand. Like I feel like you're probably having to throw that Wraith if you throw it on backhand.
Oh yeah,
has to be on some pretty steep hyzer, oh, yeah, or else she's going and leaving.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Sick. Well, let's talk fairway drivers because, Brad, I don't know about you, but there are quite a few.
There's a few
discs over on that side. And I want to start actually with that Thunderbird, the Jeremy Colding Thunderbird. How does it fly for you?
It's pretty beefy. For a Thunderbird, it's not like just a stock star Thunderbird. Like it's really beefy for a Thunderbird. Like, you know, I cannot get it to flip up at all. Now I haven't had it in my bag like an extremely long time. But I can get it to push pretty straight if I throw it flat and then just dump hard at the end.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a vulture flight for me. Mm-hmm. Like my one vulture is exactly like that. Like it won't turn. It'll just kind of get flat for a long time and then just dump at the end, which I love for the sake of like, I really use that if I need ground play. If I'm thinking of like Tim Brooke hole 7, well, old hole 7, whatever hole it is now. Where that basket's like right on the hill of death, I'm going to throw a vulture out wide because I know it's going to go straight and then have that like aggressive ground play at the end because of that steep like amount of fade it has at the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's talk about the lots then on the other side. You've got a pink and a white lots, and I do like that you added the custom flight numbers because it does give us insight into like... Mm-hmm. How they're actually flying. So is it that drastic of a difference between the two lots?
Yeah. Oh yeah. The pink one is pretty dead straight. You know, if I wanted the hyzer, I could throw it on a hyzer and it'll hyzer. If I want it, it's basically like a longer buzz, like super glidy, dead straight. And then the white clear one, the glow one is ridiculously flippy. I can throw it on just a steep hyzer and it'll flip up slowly and then just turn the entire way. So it's very, very, very flippy, but it's very useful as well. So it's not like so flippy to where like a Paradox or a Rollo, like if you throw it on hyzer, it's just going to roll. It can still fly. So it's kind of in like that sweet spot. So.
Okay. And is the goal maybe to like continue to use of the Thunderbird and the pink lots, which would you say you use more?
Oh, the pink lots 100 times more.
Okay. So is the goal eventually to maybe beat that pink lots in? So it's a replacement option for that white lots in case worse comes to worse.
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Sick. And
the white lots, did it just come out that flippy or is this one you've had for a while that you really beat up?
Sort of both. So, apparently the glow lutes or lots, whatever, they're flippier than just the regular K1, which I didn't know initially. So it was already a little bit flippier. And then I just, moved to college and at Liberty and, you know, play a lot of woods golf and hit a lot of trees. So it got really flippy, really fast. Like, you know, it was kind of weird. It was just like all of a sudden I threw it and I was like, that's way flippier than I remember. So,
hey, it do be like that. I glow plastic, I always feel like there's that subconscious belief, because it is true for most manufacturers, that it's going to be the most overstable plastic
that was my initial out there.
And then sometimes it's just like, nope, that's just not true. Manufacturer and manufacturer. So speaking of things that aren't true, some people look at Felons and they're like, these things are super overstable. Other people, I know at least the two gentlemen sitting next to ABB right now, they don't like Felons because they don't find them to be overstable at all. You've got two felons in the back. Yeah, two Felons and an FD3. Some would argue those are three of the exact same disc. So why do you bag all three?
Okay, so the one Felon, it's the Hybrid X Felon. It's like the Gavin one. They're super beefy, like ridiculously overstable. That one doesn't honestly get thrown a lot because it's more just like, if it's just a crazy headwind, that is there. Like, it's just pure utility. So that's kind of what that one's for.
Okay.
What it really, the Orbit Felon and the FD3 kind of replaced the Orbit Felon in terms of stability because it got beat in really quick, the Orbit Felon. So now, if I throw it on backhand, it honestly flies a lot like that Thunderbird, but I just don't like the feel of it as much backhand. And I don't know, it's something like in my head where I just don't feel as comfortable throwing that backhand for some reason. I don't know why.
Interesting.
But I can get it to flip up a little bit because it's so beat in, and then it still has that reliable Felon, you know, fade. And then the FD3 just kind of came in and replaced that. I tried throwing other Felons to replace it, but it was also a gift from like a guy that used to be with Team Dismania. It's one of the old Innova ones. And so he kind of sent that to me. And so I was like, you know, it's cool. So that's more the reason the FD3 is in there and not another Felon.
Okay. Interesting. So if you, it sounds like you're not necessarily committed to either mold.
No.
Just kind of, you found a good one of both of them.
Yeah.
So if you found the right FD3 to replace the Hybrid Felon, it could go in.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm pretty good friends with Gavin Rathbun. So he's on Team Dynamic. So whenever his tour series stuff comes out, I kind of gravitate towards it. And plus, whenever I first started playing, the Felon was my like super overstable mold of choice. And so I kind of just have a connection to it. So I'm definitely more connected to the Felon than I am the FD3. The FD3 has been in and out of my bag for a while, but it's been in there for a little bit now.
Okay.
Have you tried any of the new Orbit Felons, like the Gavin Rathbun ones that came out? Did you like those?
I know he had the Orbit Enforcers. I don't know about, or any Evaders. I don't think he has any Orbit Felons, but I have tried a couple of the Orbit, like the new Ricky Orbit Felons, and I like those pretty good.
Sorry. Yeah, Ricky.
Yeah.
Do you find that they're flippier than this particular run of Felon that you have in your bag now? Or are they more overstable?
The Gavin one or my current Orbit one?
The Ricky ones. Oh. Have you thrown them? Do you think they're more overstable than the Ricky Felon that you have in there currently?
No, I think the original Orbit ones are probably a little more stable than like the new Saki Bomb Felons.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would agree.
That's good. I get a little tongue tied with all of the trilogy molds that come out.
Oh, yeah.
So I see 100 million of them a week. But yeah, I was just curious. I know there's like, and I know I've heard it from Robbie. I've heard it from Trevor and Hunter too, with like these Felon runs are just like kind of all over the place at times.
Yeah. So. And you got to find your run for sure. So I can see that. I can see a world that Thundee falls out of your bag for just more Felons or something like that, especially if you have the arm speed to beat in Felons to get that straight flight. Mm-hmm. I can see that world, or like another Thunderbird steps in and replaces that Felon or however it may be. So I would definitely, my advice for the quick fix there would be like finding a, like playing a couple rounds with just your 9 speeds. And being like, okay, what stands out? What am I finding? Like, all right, these two are a very similar shot. So I'm going to play this hole 3 times.
Yeah.
And see, am I consistently throwing this one better? However that may balance out. I want to jump to, because we're running on a little bit of a time crunch here. I want to jump to putting putters because we're going to finish talking about mid-ranges. And I want to talk about your Lunas because I know something we talked about is that you're not necessarily set on the Lunas?
Not 100%. I've been putting with Lunas actually for like 2.5 years, but I always like midway through like a year go through like a midlife crisis and change putters for like 2 weeks because I just like I hit rock bottom. It happened to me this one time during practice at Liberty, and I just caught like a bad case of just like the yips. I mean, I was just grip locking every putt. So I went to PA2s, and you know, switching putters doesn't fix anything. So I was like, why are you doing this? Just go back to the Lunas. You're confident with them. You have like a ton of them. And so, yeah, but I'm definitely not 100% sold.
Yeah. So what is it about the Luna that you don't like, or like what ends up happening that talks you out of it? Is it a stroke thing where, cause it sounds like they're, you're grip locking them. But
I'm not entirely sure, to be honest. I don't really know what makes me like go away. I mean, they roll like crazy. Like it's actually kind of annoying. Like for some reason, I feel like Lunas just roll more than any putter I've ever attempted to putt with. So that's more of just an annoyance thing. But you know, if it goes in the basket, it doesn't matter anyway. So I guess it's more just, there's really not a putter that I like love. I guess I haven't felt one that's like made me be like, this feels amazing, so I'm gonna take the Luna out. I don't really know why that is. I'm sure eventually it'll happen, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say I think the Luna has a very unique hand feel. Obviously, people will say like the Luna and the Roach are basically the same thing. I've heard that before. But I think that beadless, thin profile putter that Discraft has is unique. No doubt about that. So I always tell people, if you ever want to try something out about the Luna, find what you dislike about the hand feel of the Luna and then work from that. Like if you wish that it had a bead, okay, well, there are options of thin beaded putters. You wish I had a little more depth because you feel like a lot of times if you go too thin on a putter, your fingers are so closed in, like they don't have anywhere to go. If you have decent sized hands, shallow putters can be really tough because your fingers want somewhere to go, but the putter's so thin that you can't ever get like a natural feeling grip that's like, oh, this just settles in my hand. So then that extra finger work that you have to do to get the excess gone can cause grip locks and things like that. So if grip locking is an issue, I would definitely suggest going to a somewhat deeper putter because your fingers, the extra work that your fingers are doing will be solved simply by having more putter to get around, kind of a deal. So definitely curious there. Let's jump over to the rock and the uplink. That was a conversation we kind of had offline. Tell us about the rock and the uplink, and I'll let Brad, you kind of jump in at the end of that to talk about what we threw today.
Mm-hmm. Neither mold I'm in love with, to be honest. The rock is in there because I want to love the rock. I want to be a rock thrower. I want to love it, but I just don't. And it's really unfortunate. So my goal is just kind of to beat in a rock, just beat it to death, and then have it kind of fill that uplink slot because I'm not in love with the uplink either. But I have felt like, I guess, the mana or mana from Thought Space and the lobster from Mint, and they both feel really good. I like the feel of them more, but I just haven't bought one. So that could end up replacing both because I like the feel of that more than the rock or the uplink.
So what about the uplink do you not like?
It's like almost too flippy because mine's been beat in too, so now it's just kind of ridiculous. Like it's
a little paradoxy.
Yeah, it's so flippy that it's like I don't throw it often. Now, whenever I need to throw it and the shot calls for it, I'm definitely glad I have something that flippy or have a mid that's understable. But I'm not in love with either that or the rock by any means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then what does your buzz do for you? Is your buzz just like laser beam straight?
Just dead straight. I've loved the buzz for, I mean, for years. And I've tried to switch to the hex, and I'm just like, I just love the buzz too much to switch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so good news today is, you know, Ravi and I went like the more like neutral to flippy kind of slot, okay. You know, because if you take out the rock there, and even though like there's a big gap between the buzz and the uplink, I'd argue that there's an even bigger perceived gap between the buzz and the uplink. There's a lot of room for disc there.
Yeah.
I think the challenge is, and kind of on the theme of the episode of, hey, let's not create a bunch of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's try to talk more about okay, I think, Noah, you're probably in the spot in your game where, I'm kind of getting there. You're probably ahead of me, I'm guessing, but I'm like, okay, I went from I threw one mid range, then I'm like, oh, okay, I can kind of throw more than one mid range now. So let's get seven of them in there, and each disc cover a different type of shot. And now I'm kind of okay, I don't need seven. I'm starting to learn a little angle control. So how can I kind of thin that down and have discs that do multiple shots? Because really, to me, I want to have discs to do multiple shots in my bag. I don't want to just carry around, unless it's an extremely overstable felon, you need that type of disc for mm-hmm. headwind or get out of jail kind of shots or whatever. But, you know, and you don't need that for every single speed in your bag. So I threw the Origin today and I threw the Meteor today, kind of thinking in that slot. So Origin's 5.5 negative 1.1. It's in the Neoplastic. The Meteor is 5.5 negative 3.1 and Z. Now, I think anyone who's ever thrown a Meteor knows that in Z plastic, it's not a negative 3.1, especially off the shelf in Z plastic. I will make the claim, though, that I think that Discmania probably, just in my experience with throwing Discmania plastic, at least off the shelf initially, I feel like their flight numbers are the most accurate out of almost any manufacturer. I feel like they put a lot of thought into that. Not that the others haven't, just for whatever reason, when I throw a Discmania mold, it seems to fly exactly like I expect it to fly based on the flight numbers for my arm in particular. So those are two that I threw today, just kind of thinking about that kind of gap. Because as an uplink thrower and uplink lover myself, it does come out on very specific shots. There's a lot in that kind of you know, oh, I can't get a forehand there. I need to throw something uphill. I think all kinds of scenarios of uplink is going to be great for those type of shots I need to go right that I don't really feel comfortable with the forehand, or I need gravity not to smash it down as much. And I feel like the uplink is great for all of those type of shots. But, and then I'm a hex throw. So I have the hex kind of where your buzz is just that very straight. And I have an Eclipse hex that's has a little stability at the end. So it's a pretty big gap there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working on some discs in that range. I had two discs there and I wanted to narrow it down to one. And I personally have been throwing the Origin in that spot. So I think my thing, I guess I always talk about hand feel between the Meteor and the Origin. Origin just feels better for me. It has kind of that sleek kind of profile. It just fits really nice in my hand. The Meteor does too. The Meteor has its kind of bevels really nice. It feels comfortable. And I'll be honest, this is a very silly reason. I used to bag the Meteor. The reason I stopped, it's a little bit bigger than all my other mid ranges, and my discs stack weird. And it just bothered me. That's what the whole reason I stopped throwing the Meteor.
Fascinating.
But hand feel, it's great. It does feel a little bit bigger in the hand. So to each their own if you like that. I like more of a sleek. I like this to feel like it's just going to just rip out of my hand and just go super far. And that's what I feel like on the Origin. So Origin hand feel wins for me. Robbie, what are your thoughts on my throwing? I can give you some insight when I was out throwing them in the field today.
Yeah, I would say the biggest question mark would be in terms of multiple shot options, which kind of held out, because I think we're talking about Noah, and Noah, I'm not normally the guy to do this, but we were discussing last night. And so I looked up your PGA profile, and I understand that college disc golf can have a beating on your rating sometimes. So definitely know that to be true. But I was like, if this man's throwing 400 feet, looking at his bag, he's got to be 925, 940, somewhere in there, and looking, and it sounds like short game definitely holding you back there a good bit.
Oh yeah.
But I'd be willing to bet the decision making alone of am I supposed to go with the uplink here and just try to put on a bunch of hyzer? Am I supposed to turn the rock over? Am I supposed to just throw the buzz on Anheuser? Those decisions can get super complicated. So a disc that could just wipe off that part of the bag and you're like, this shape goes that way, it's an Origin. It's just what angle I'm going to throw the Origin mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. Could be helpful, or what I'm going to throw the Meteor on. So yeah, Brad, what would you say, shot shaping wise, what produced the most options?
For me personally, I feel like the Origin, and just because like an Origin, and I love this, and I love this about the Lobster, and I decided to take the Lobster out. And the Origin is maybe better at this. I feel like I can, and this is something that's tricky about the uplink. I can't throw the uplink on more than like 50% power or it's going to be unusable. The Origin, I feel like I can just smash and it'll do what it's not going to like burn over on me. The Origin, you know, if I put it on some hyzer, it'll flip up. And it was a little hard for me to flip. I had to throw it pretty hard to flip up. So no, I think it's going to be easy for you to flip up. But feel like you can throw a controlled shot and it still flip up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I also love that like in the Origin, if I throw it flat, it's just going to kind of go laser beam straight and have a little carry to the fade to the right, or sorry, turn to the right, and then come back a little to the left, kind of still keeping that like very thin window of like where you want it to go, but maybe you need to fade a little bit to the right or turn a little bit to the right. There's a lot of shots like that, right? Where you're like, okay, off the tee, I need to get a little right, but I can't go too far right or it's like danger town.
Yeah.
So like, I like that type of shot. If I threw it on Annie, it'll just keep that like Annie line and just turn, but it's not going to burn over. So there's like a lot of things. The thing about the Meteor is I could get the hyzer flip up, and then if I threw it flat, it just kind of like will turn this like instantly. And I like the Origin for the fact that it like just kind of like, it just like spins and just goes straight and then decides what it wants to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think with you, with a little bit more, you have a little bit more skill than me, better angle control, better spin. You're going to be able to see a lot more of the versatility of the Origin probably than even I do. And I just feel like it's just going to cover so much area in your bag. So you're not going to be like, oh, do I throw the Buzz? Do I throw the Rock? Do I throw the uplink? You know,
yeah.
Or do I throw the Rock? Do I throw the uplink? Do I throw the Origin? Do I throw the uplink? You're going to have a very clear definition between what is an uplink shot, what is an Origin shot, and what is a Buzz shot. I think it's going to give you a lot of clarity in that particular area.
Yeah. Any thoughts there, Noah, on like, have you tried an Origin before?
I actually have. So I played in the tournament in early March, and with my tournament winnings, I got a Midnight Prowl 2. I threw it once at my house. We have a lot of land, but the field was grown up. It went into the field and I never found it. So I threw it one time and it was very sad. But yeah, I would actually like to try the Origin, you know, hopefully it won't lose it first throw this time.
And speaking from someone who's thrown that disc also, not the same as a stock Neo Origin. Yeah. It's different. So, okay, cool. Well, Noah, I don't even have to send this out to you. I'll see you here in like next week. So you can pick it up at the warehouse. I think it's just gonna be the best, but I think the Meteor is not going to do what you want it to do. I think it's going to give you the same kind of vibes and confusion.
Yeah.
Just with your arm speed, it's going to be flippier for you. The Origin, I think, is going to like stand kind of like where you need it to stand and just have a confidence in that type of shot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Noah, we appreciate you coming on, man. And we are excited to hear how this flies for you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, man. We appreciate being on. We'll see you soon.
Awesome. See ya.
Whew. Overlap City. It is. I mean, it's a lot of felons, guys. Felons, FD3s, and he's using them.
Destroyer Town.
Yeah.
Yep. But hey, stamps. I think
love how people get the hookups.
I'll speak it out there. I just don't know. Yeah, that's true. I think maybe in this part of our game, and with Noah, I mean, he's been playing a little longer than me, but I think when you start like really thinking, I think there's like a strategic or like analytical approach to a bag. And that's kind of where I dove in. It was like, oh, I need like all these discs for each of these little increments. Hmm. And now that I've been to that land and have come back, I feel like I find myself like maybe like coming between the two. Like I don't just want like one disc for that slot or like two mid ranges and just do everything with two mid ranges, but maybe three or four is good, not like six.
Yeah.
So I think there's like something to be said there. And I think it's just how skills develop. Like it's like, oh, I can only throw a couple discs. Oh, now I can throw a lot of discs now. So you put a lot of discs in there and you're relying on the disc to do it. And then I think now I'm kind of coming to the part where I'm like, okay, I'm comfortable messing with angles a little bit now. So I can maybe like a disc like the Origin, like it does a little bit more work for me now than maybe it would have before. So I think it was a great discussion. Hopefully that helped you all. And, you know, I think there's probably more of people out there like Noah with a lot of overlap than probably would like to admit. And hey, sometimes it's just fun to have overlap because you like a bunch of discs and that's okay too.
That's true. My 7-speed slot, like if I put all the discs that I want in that middle where Noah had his FDs, if I were to put all the moles that I love, guys, it would be, it would, I would not even need another back. I would just have a bunch of seven neutral seven speeds with my stalkers, mm-hmm. evaders, eagles. Like I would just load that thing up in the middle. So mm-hmm. totally get that. And how I know that I owned a lot of those seven speeds was when I set up my Heiser disc racks, which is the presenting sponsor of What's New in the Warehouse, because sometimes when discs don't make the bag and you're like, hey, I want to switch things up. For me, I'm switching up my drivers. You'll see a video coming about that on my channel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so switching up my drivers. And so I put them on my disc racks. Wonderful piece of furniture, wonderful storage solution. It looks so good. I mean, it was probably the talking point of my holidays was showing people pictures of these disc racks. So I want to thank the team over at Heiser Disc Racks. And by team, want to thank the guy running the solo operation.
Yeah. Shannon, man, shout out. Thank you for supporting In the Bag. Thank you for just, he has a commitment to quality that I just really appreciate.
Yeah.
And again, he's selling, if you can check it out now, I think there's still some in stock, but he's selling some like factory seconds, if you will, Heiser X. There's not really anything wrong with them. Like they're still beautiful. They're still great pieces of furniture. They just didn't fit his quality. And guess what? When you get them shipped to you, they're not going to be broken because the packaging is also just quality. A lot of thought has went into this. A lot of thoughts went into the product. He's working on some new fun products behind the scenes, but for now, make sure you pick up a Heiser disc rack. And again, yes, it's an investment, but it's modular. You just buy it in pieces as you can budget for it, and that's great. So thank you, Heiser disc racks. Check them out in the link in the description. Let them know that we sent you, and thank you, Heiser disc rack, for sponsoring What's New in the Warehouse. Now, that being said, guys,
what's new in the warehouse, Brad?
Not a lot, because like I said, hey, a lot of these, and good for them, giving their people off a lot of time off around the holidays, Christmas, New Year's, that sort of thing. Love that. But we don't get a lot of shipments because like they're not open for shipping right now for most of the manufacturers. But we are still working on our Innova restock. We got a bunch of obscure molds going up. I say obscure, like the Orc. We have the Mirage, like some odds and ends molds going up. We have some odds and ends MVP going up as well. But don't forget about, we have a lot of like actual merch on hand. So like these rain jackets are there. Well, excuse me, windbreakers are there. We have some hoodies, a lot of performance dad hats. And don't forget about accessories. Those are good too. Some of that like odds and ends stuff. Maybe you got some gift cards. You don't know where to spend them. Hey, grab a hat, grab some discs. You know, it's all there. As always, check out Recently Restocked. There are discs going up all the time, even now. When we're not getting shipments in, we still got stuff. We're trying to, the lag from the holidays, and it'll get booted back up in here about a week. So make sure you check all that out. Check out your favorite Foundation apparel at foundationdisc.com. And as always, we thank you so much for supporting us. And hey, this is our last one of 2023, Robbie. I just realized that.
Absolutely. Yeah. New year coming in just a few short days. So we want to say thank you for tuning in. Thank you for making 2023 our biggest year yet. And guys, we're already dreaming and hoping for 2024. So we'll see you on the other side. And when you find that new disc and it's excellent, what do you do?
Let's keep in the bag. We'll see y'all next year.